Please stand for the reading of the gospel. It is John, the first chapter, verses 35 through 42. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Well, they were two brothers, raised in the same household, taught by the same teachers, tutored in the same profession. And as so often is the case with siblings, their similarities ended there. They were totally different people. One would even have to wonder how they could possibly be related. But they were, as different as they were. Simon, or Peter as we know him, was the oldest and the biggest of the two. He was also the most opinionated and the most impulsive of them too. It was as if he had never quite outgrown that boisterous, look at me attitude of adolescence. He loved to be in the spotlight. There is nothing that Peter liked more than when all the eyes were on him. He rose to the occasion. But that's not to say that he didn't have his good points. He was a hard worker. An extremely hard worker. He was a good business person who was known to be honest in his dealings with others. Add to that the fact that he was an outstanding leader, and one can begin to understand why people were just drawn to him. Then there was Andrew. There was absolutely no way his quiet and reserved nature could possibly measure up to his brother's more boisterous ways. He was outgoing enough in his own introverted way. And while Peter was the nuts and bolts behind the family business, you know, the one who could quote inventory and profit ratios at a moment's notice, it was Andrew who was the people person. He was the one who could go out and see what people were going through. He was the one who could look at their needs and look at the business and see exactly how they could get the two to measure together. Andrew, he knew that they had to make a profit, but he also knew that what they had could be shared. And sometimes he had to remind his brother of this. Reliable, gentle, observant, open-minded, helpful, these are but a few of the adjectives one could use to describe Andrew. But despite all of this, he knew his place. He understood both his strengths and his weaknesses. And as a result, you never saw Andrew out in front, playing to the crowd. He was more of a behind-the-scenes sort of person. And that was just fine with him. He really didn't care. And yet, oddly enough, when Jesus began to select individuals to be a part of his inner circle, it was Andrew, not Peter, that he chose first. And while it's impossible to know exactly why, it could be that, at least in the beginning, Jesus needed someone he knew would follow through, and others knew they could trust. Add to that the fact that, well, have you ever known someone who's just really quiet? They're kind of laid back and don't show a lot of emotion. When they get around to being excited about something, people listen, don't they? When they finally speak up, people pay attention. And that's the way it was with Andrew. Andrew never said much. He always tended to hang back. But oh, he was so observant. He saw everything. And when he finally saw something that he knew was spectacular, that he knew he could trust, that he knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was miraculous, Andrew couldn't contain it. He ran to his brother and he said, "I have found the Messiah." Remember what I said about Andrew never really caring if he got the glory for anything? Who do we say was the first to recognize Jesus as the Messiah? Peter. But if you read it, Peter's just simply repeating what his brother said. Andrew knew it 3 years before. But he didn't call Peter on it. Because you see, Andrew was just happy when people finally got it. It didn't matter who figured it out first. What mattered was that Jesus was who Andrew said, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior. Now, people like Andrew, they don't come around very often. And when they do, they are so easy to miss. They just don't fit our ideas of who a leader should be. After all, when we begin to look for leaders, we want the energetic ones with the magnetic personalities that can draw people to them and command large crowds and can really work them. You know, the handshaker, baby kisser, back slapper. Always on top of everything, that's who we think leaders should be. That's who we look for. Leaders. I mean, real leaders, they aren't the shy, reclusive Andrews among us. They're the outgoing, personable Peters, right? Maybe. According to the Reverend Warren Lamb, I quote, "It isn't always the biggest, the loudest, or even the most popular people that Jesus Christ chooses to use for the significant work of the kingdom. It isn't always the most likely to succeed whom God is likely to use. Many times, most times, it is the person who lives in the shadows of others that God chooses to use in mighty ways." So friends, while the Andrews of the world may never write an epistle or perform a miracle or preach to the masses, they are the ones who God often looks for to bring stability and credibility to the faith. They're the real ones who real people feel comfortable approaching and asking questions of. They are the ones who, when invite others to come and see, the others respond. And you know, that should be very good news for most of us. While it may be hard for us to see how Jesus could possibly use our simple and sometimes floundering ways to help build up the kingdom, the truth is, we are the ones who are needed the most. We have a place in the line of the saints. We have tasks that we can accomplish and people we can influence. We can reach out and tell others who are yearning to know the love and the acceptance that we have through Jesus Christ. You know, God has made each one of us and has set us as examples for others to follow. So let's stop comparing ourselves to all those others. Let's stop thinking that unless we can stand among the leaders of the church, we have nothing to offer. Like Andrew, we may not be the ones to preach and teach, to pray and sing, or even to organize and to build. But we can be the quiet witnesses who live the gospel in such a way that others will want to follow. Oh, and just in case you still think you're not as important as the Peters among us, well, I want you to remember this. Peter did finally emerge as the leader of the church. He was also Jesus' biggest challenge. He was the one who could make Jesus so angry. And do you know that Peter reneged on more promises than all the other 11 combined? That was Peter. What about Andrew? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take my place in line right behind Andrew. I would like to be the one who could draw others to Christ and know that the rest was up to God. There are people who want to meet the Lord. Are you ready to accept the challenge? To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen. I want you to listen to these words again. O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord. You know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Now I ask you, if God knows you that well, how can we possibly say that we have nothing to give? How can we possibly say that we have to leave this discipleship to other people? He hems you in before and behind. He holds your hand. He leads the way. You may be Andrew, but you have so much to give. So go and allow him to hold your hand, to take you where you need to go, to speak the words you need to speak, and trust that in his grace all will be whole. Go to love and to serve in Christ's name. Amen.